بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Small little children playing around. So they're discussing amongst themselves, okay, what is marriage? Small 5, 6, 7 years of age, and they want to know what is marriage. So they can't get to understand what it is all about. They resolve that all the participants here, the first one that is going to get married, then he must explain to us what it is all about, what is the enjoyment of marriage. The time passed and one child came of age, so she got married. So like they have it, that after the marriage, after the nikah, 1-2 days pass, and the girl will come back to her mother's place. She'll spend a day or half a day or maybe 2 days and go back. So as she came back, so the friends came around her to know the secret, what it is all about. So she says, you see, the secret of marriage is that you must get into it. You cannot understand it until you don't get into it. So with time, things unravel. Time, experience, understanding, and things that were mysteries, slowly they begin to unravel, they begin to open out. On our side, it is important that we have that level of confidence. The one that is instructing, the one that is leading, the one that is taking you along, you have the confidence in him, and his work will be then to pull you, to draw you inside, slowly, slowly, slowly. So the first condition, as they explain, is fana. In order to be able to see something thereafter, in order to experience this, then the first step is fana. Fana means, now, in our simple words, that you don't have a plan of your own. You have sort of did away with your plannings, your intentions, and your future. And now you have given it to someone else. He must lead you from this point onwards, he must take you. See, the Bani Israel, or call them the Kitabis, they are envious and they hate the Muslims for 2 reasons, or say 3 reasons. The one reason that they don't like Islam and they don't like the Muslims is this, that why were the Muslims blessed with the day of Jumu'ah? They have taken Saturday and others have taken Sunday, right? So now, the day in the sight of Allah Ta'ala that is special and that is auspicious is Jummah. So why did you get favored with Jummah and why didn't we get favored with the day of Jummah? So the Jummah was offered to them, but then they employed their reasoning against the command of Allah Ta'ala. The Jews said that Allah Ta'ala completed with creation on a Friday and he commenced on Sunday. So Saturday he didn't attend to the creation. It was a creating process. There was no creation on Saturday. So then we should dedicate Saturday for worship. Here Allah Pak is saying something. Friday must be exclusive. It must be an auspicious day. And they applied their reasoning. So when you apply your reasoning against the command of Allah Ta'ala, then you get into complications, difficulties. But the thing that was quite simple, straightforward, you now don't have it so straight. Now it's, you go right around difficulty upon difficulty. Eventually you come to the same spot, but with a lot of difficulty. And the reason is that you weren't happy with the command of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says, "Why are you not happy? So we'll take you the long cut. But you will get the same thing at the end. More difficulty, more anxiety, more worry." Right? Sometimes you see, there's two people, right? And they're living the same, eating more or less the same. But the one person, in order to reach there, he went through a lot of difficulty. Pain, difficulty, worry, anxiety, traveling here, traveling there. And eventually, he did something. But he got that after a lot of pain, difficulty, worry, anxiety. And the second person got there, he got the same pleasure, the same comfort, everything the same, but he got it with a lot of ease. So what was the reason that this person got it with difficulty? And what was the reason that this person got it with difficulty? Every case may not be the same, but many cases is such that this first person wasn't happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's command comes gradually, gracefully, that this is the plan, and it will come in, it'll kick in with time. Now you want it to happen, so you stressing about the whole thing. Right? I need to do this business and open that, and start off this thing here. Now you're experimenting with one business, one time you're starting off with a car wash, and that thing is not giving so much of profit. So now this car wash is not the right thing. Then you're doing some walking on the one side. They're not playing the game with me. Then you're starting the third thing and the fourth thing. With a lot of worry, a lot of excitement, a lot of anxiety, eventually you get stuck onto one. That is the first person, right? So he is not happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala, the decision of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala declared that I am responsible for Ruzi. I will pass it on to you. It's my responsibility. But you don't seem to be happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. Now, go the long way. There is a dua in the hadith, وَلَا تُذْهِبْ طَلَبِي إِلَى شَيْءٍ صَرَّفْتَهُ عَنِّي. Allah Ta'ala, don't allow my mind to go into things that you have not decreed for me. You've turned away from me. My mind mustn't go into that. Now, if Allah Pak doesn't help you, then your mind is going into this, into the second thing, third thing, fourth thing. Don't you see it happening at the time of proposal, right? One is going through a whole samosa run, right? And I can't call it a samosa run. Because samosa run may be just three ends. Here it's going to 20 ends. One side, second side, third side, fourth side. Still can't make up his mind, what must I take? So he's not happy with the decision of his elders. Not happy with the decision of his elders, then nothing is pleasing to him. Sunya, no, it's too fat. Sunya is too short. Sunya is not too fair. That one is too dark. Sunya, his features are not there, right? So everything he's got some wonder and some complaint about. Sunya is not right, that was not right. That eventually, he gets settled in someone. In 1-2 days in the marriage, he's still not happy. The other one said, "All right, I got my elders, my parents, elders, my family. They can think, they got experience, they got understanding. And when they've got the understanding, they know people, they have seen life, the ups and the downs, they've seen everything in life. So I leave it to them, now they must decide, and let me carry on." So very quickly it happened for him, it worked out, alhamdulillah, he's moving. So when it came to the Jews, they were not happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala that Friday must be the day of worship, auspicious. So they employed the reasoning, and when they employed the reasoning, then the easy thing became difficult for them. أَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. So there were yokes put onto them, difficulties and difficulties, right? Now amongst the difficulties is like on a Sabbath, they can't even fish. They can't fish. On a Saturday, they can't switch on anything light. Nothing, no switch. no light, nothing they can put on. So when the commands became difficult and unbearable, then they began to look for loopholes. The straightforward command, to slaughter one cow. Now, what color? How was it? How does it look? What is it all about? Right. So, shaddadu fashuddida alayhim. When they made it difficult, then Allah Ta'ala made it difficult for them. They went on this difficult path, so it became difficult for them. So, easy, simple command, to slaughter one cow, karat, end of story. So, now what type of cow and what color the cow must be? So they brought the difficulty upon themselves. The deen became difficult. So the simple and the easiest way is, but it's a command of Allah Ta'ala, let's accept it. And let's go with it completely, wholeheartedly. And let us take it also with a cheer. Not just taking it and taking it grudgingly, but take it with a cheer. And take it gracefully. If you find some difficulty for the short term, then hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak will open up some way. Now, it seems to be a little bit difficulty, but shortly Allah Pak will open up something for me, it will open up for me, and I will get an exit in this whole thing. Right? Now, you want it now, and now, and now. What's happening, then you're complaining, grudging someone, envious of someone, fighting with someone, jealous over someone. So where this thing came about? That you're not happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. So you must be landed with problems. If you're not happy with Allah Pak's decision, then you must be unhappy, must be unsettled, mind will be in a turmoil, always the turmoil. So the simplest thing is, just be happy with Allah Ta'ala's decision, whatever it is, small or big. So when you come to a khanqa, then this is the primary lesson you come to learn. This lesson of fana. To give yourself entirely to Allah Ta'ala. Without any reservation, without any exception. What He's going to decide for me, I'm going to take it from there. And I won't make any decision of my own. Now, it may seem to be a simple word, but when we train ourselves in this, then you find it's so enjoyable, so pleasant. There can't be anything as pleasant. And Allah Ta'ala illustrates this in the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salam, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّ أَسْلِمْ. Now, who's being commanded? A Nabi, right? And when you hear of Ibrahim alayhi salam, then he is from Ulul Azm, right? According to the Muhaddiseen, he's rating second. In the galaxy of Anbiya, then he is rating second. He is first, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is first, Ibrahim alayhi salam, then Musa alayhi salam, then Isa alayhi salam, then Nuh alayhi salam. This is how they rate them, right? So he's rated the second best. When he's rated the second best, then he's been commanded, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. Surrender, give yourself up. So it was not just accepting Islam. When we say accepting Islam, we refer to some tenets of faith, articles of faith, that's what we refer to. Because a Nabi is always a Muslim. He's always in the obedience of Allah. You can't imagine a Nabi away from the right beliefs. He'll be upon the right beliefs right from the beginning, right till the end of his life. He'll never deviate from the right set of beliefs. So then when Allah Ta'ala commanded Aslim, what was he referring to? Right. So his reference was that you give yourself entirely. Then don't say, no, why this happened, why didn't this happen? He is blessed with the child, I'm not blessed with the child. He is blessed with the son, I'm blessed with the daughter. Why? So you want to ask. Whether a decree relates to your religion or it relates to your dunya. In both, no, this is the decision of Allah Ta'ala, let it be. You ask for ease, you ask for forgiveness. Right? It doesn't mean that you don't plan yourself. Right? You plan yourself. But then after that, whatever is decided, then you are happy with the decision. Then you got no reservations, you got no qualms, you got no hesitation accepting the decree. Why it happened? And I say this belief to just accept, this belief to accept, is a belief of ease and enjoyment. Because just imagine there was a motor car accident, right? So someone was critical or someone died. So the one blames the other for negligence. Because of your negligence, and there was a death, right? So he'll keep playing this in his mind, that because of this person's negligence, and my son or my child was killed, his negligence. Had he not been negligent, then this would have not happened. And then this will not come to an end. He'll keep going in circles, his negligence, and there was a calamity, I was struck like this because of him. Had he not been negligent, I wouldn't have been in this predicament. But because he was negligent, therefore I am landed with this misery, this problem. So will he bring any closure to this? So carry on. Right. And the Islamic way, the right way is, if we come to a problem, right, for the next time we'll be more careful, but we will say that this was divinely decreed, so it had to happen. So we couldn't change, we couldn't alter anything. Because when it was decreed, we can't alter it. Like I say, it doesn't mean that we don't plan, but thereafter, whatever is decided at the end, then we leave it. Go with the flow thereafter. Then we don't challenge it, we don't say why, who, when. Because if you don't do that, your mind will be in a constant state of turmoil, number one. Then you're going to get into a state of depression. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Many times you get youngsters people that have come of age now, 25, 35, 40, whatever, and they remember their past, their childhood. And in the childhood, then someone was abused, right? Whichever way he was molested or abused, sometimes he's molested or abused by an elder or a relative, and it remembers all the past, oh, this person here did this to me, this person did this to me, right? And I am suffering now because of this person's molestation, his abuse. Right. Now, end that story. If you're not going to end the story, you're going to be landed in problem. One is going to be in a mental turmoil. Right. Number two, if you're going to be sharing the story with someone else, then there's going to be an embarrassment for you. Right. Right. Number three, if you also begin to molest, then you will begin to justify. Said, I was molested, therefore I am molesting someone else. But this person did this to me, so I am doing it to him because this was done to me. So you will find justification for your wrong. So it's a wrong way to go about doing things. The rest will teach you that you must justify it. Just why you justify it? Because this was done to you, therefore you're doing it. But I say you, that is that an exit? Is that bring a closure? Is that bring any type of ease to you? You're complicating your problem, compounding the problem. And over and above everything else, you don't want to assume responsibility for your wrong. You want to justify it because it was done to you, therefore you're doing it to the next person, therefore you justify it. So you don't want to accept responsibility for your wrong. So you see how complicated you make it. So you come to a trial, now this was done to me, this was done to me. So you're complicating the case. Now, when you've been treated like this, then think to yourself, alright, happened. Now, for the future, what I must do? So I must guard myself or my children that they are not abused. This is a lesson that you learn. Or what was the reason, how this abuse came about, molestation, how did it come out? So I must guard myself, I must guard my children that they don't happen. There's no repetition. Right. And I mustn't do it to someone else, because then that person will justify it, because I did this to him, therefore he's got the permission to do someone else. See that? So this will be, we'll carry on, غير متناهي. لا متناهي. No end to this thing. So the right way is, no, I am responsible for this. and I need to correct myself, and I need to take precaution for the future. Sometimes we have it in adults, right? So my child, he went off because of this person. This person misled my child. So your child was a farishta, was an angel. That person's fault that he influenced your child. See that? So you don't want to assume responsibility. So we come back to the story that this Bani Israel, or this Kitabis, they have got a dislike, a aversion for you for three reasons. One is that you've been blessed with the Jummah and they were deprived of the Jummah. So when it came to the Muslims, and the Muslims were told that Jummah is your day. So they took it. This is command of Allah Ta'ala. We take it. We close our eyes and we accept it wholeheartedly. Now, as we see life featuring now, right? Jummah is such an enjoyable day, right? Do you see anything like a Jummah? Internationally, do you see anything like a Jummah? Every masjid is overpacked, no place, facilities, and so much of movement, some bayan is carrying on, Jummah, right? And then outside the masjid, there's another show going on with all the garibs and all that, right? So everything is carrying on. Someone is worried about the parking, is arranging for the facilities, that side. But what a beautiful sight to see on a Jummah in an Islamic community. How beautiful. But do you see it in any other religion? One friend of mine was working in London, right? So he says, London is like the heart of Christianity, right? So I've been through, deliberately I went past through the biggest of their cathedrals and their churches. At the prime time, Sunday prime time, I used to go past, just to see what's going on. And most of the time, I won't find a single car parked outside the cathedral or outside their churches, right? Now, notwithstanding that was the greatest day in the week for them, right? Now imagine a masjid, right? Na'uzubillah. And there's not a single car parked outside the masjid. How does it feel? Now, they form approximately over 90% of the London population, right? But not a single soul wants to go there. So, we started off, they used their own reasoning against the command of Allah Ta'ala. Eventually, they dropped out. Eventually, now they got nothing to do with the religion. Therefore, now it's a question now, is it right to marry a Kitabi woman? It's a discussion amongst the fuqaha, jurists. Now, is it right to get married to them? So, most fuqaha in this day and time say it's not right for you to get married to them. They give two reasons, basically. One is that they don't have their religion. Besides their name, John and Paul, besides that, they've got nothing to do with the religion. They don't believe, they don't practice, they don't hold their religion in esteem, absolutely nothing to do with the religion. So they just got a name, and the name also just for convenience, so that they can fit within that society. They don't become ostracized. Otherwise, they are atheists, nothing to do with the religion. So the permission that was given was to a Kitabi, not to an atheist. And when you look at them, their lives presently, over 90% is all atheists. So therefore, they rule out that you can't marry them, and you can't eat their slaughterings as well. Because they've got no religion. فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِيرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ Right? They don't even take the name of Allah Ta'ala. No, nothing, absolutely nothing at the time of slaughter. Even the Jews, right, they have fallen into ignorance. Because I was reading some articles about how they do their slaughtering, right? They do the slaughtering like this. The rabbi or someone will come up and he will read Bismillah on the knife. See this healer business, the shortcut business. So what he does, he reads Bismillah on the knife and he passes it on to the slaughterer. All day he'll be slaughtering 100, 200. So that is all kosher. So is that how you make something halal? Kulu mimma zukira smullahi alayhi. That you eat on which the name of Allah Ta'ala has been recited. So is the name of Allah recited on the slaughtering? No, it was not on the slaughtering, it was on the knife. Not on the slaughtering. So how can this slaughtering be permissible when Bismillah was not taken at the time of slaughter, rather it was taken at the time of, on the knife itself, the instrument itself. So they moved away, Christians moved away, therefore say, you can't marry these people. You can't eat their slaughterings and you can't marry them. Right? The second reason that they say that you shouldn't be marrying them is because see, for the marriage, for the nikah, to materialize, right? For the marriage to be prosperous, right? You need a harmony between the spouses. Total, absolute harmony. A harmonious relationship, right? Spouses have got a harmonious relationship, so now it's a prosperous marriage. But if there's not harmony between the spouses, can it be a prosperous marriage? Now, for that marriage to become harmonious, then you need to be in agreement. Right? You're doing this, she's doing the same thing. She's doing something, you're doing the same thing. You're working together. But your beliefs are totally different from her beliefs. So can they be a harmonious relationship? So it won't be prosperity. And one of two things then you will have, one will have to then compromise to the other, right? So now, if it is a Christian or a Jewess, now you have to then compromise. Right? Now then that depends entirely on the strength of the person. Most of our people are not strong, right? In the commitment to their deen, they are not strong. When they are not strong in the commitment to the deen, they got married. Now imagine this, a real situation, right? Say it was a Christmas, right, Eve, right? So what will they do? The wife is seeing something, say, alright, darling, you want this Christmas tree, let us have it. You want a Santa Claus, have it, let us have it. You want a celebration, let us have it, right? Or today you must join us to the church. Just to bring about that harmony, to force the harmony within the house, he will relinquish a lot of his obligations and farais. He will leave it out. So because majority of them don't know the parameter, don't know where to draw a line, therefore our ulama said, now, bhai, leave this out. Right. Then they say also, the third reason they give, that if you're going to marry like this, you're going to be marrying like this, mostly in non-Muslim countries, right? And the reason will be obvious, is because of the color, you married that person, right? It's the color, so you married the person in a non-Muslim country. Now, in a few years, you've got 2-3 children, right? Now, it's a country that is non-Muslim, and a country that talks about gender equality, right? So one person is going for his passport, you know. So he told me, you know, before the Isha asked the South African passport, so they call us at the embassy somewhere, they call us, and they teach us about the South African constitution. So I said, what did they ask you? What did they talk to spoke about? So, you know, they spoke about gender equality. So then I asked, what do you mean by gender equality? Do you mean by gender equality that men's and women's toilet will be the same? Equal? So use the same toilet facility. Is that the meaning? I said, I'm not sure about that. But gender equality, does it mean that if they are playing ball now, they're playing football, and a girl says that I want to be on one side, that you must join her, it's her right, because gender equality, when it's gender equality, we are equal, and she wants to be a cricketer with Hashim Amla, give her a side. Then how does this gender equality feature? How does it feature? Tell me how it features. Or she wants to be fighting, you know, with this boxer, right? She wants to be boxing, so put her into the boxing ring. Is that the meaning of gender equality? Then how does it feature? So they can themselves cannot explain properly, correctly, what do they mean by gender equality. But they just say gender equality. Big word, and meaning is very hollow, right? So now, you go 2-3 years, 4 years into the marriage, and you've got children, right? When they talk of gender equality, what they mean really is you must give some degree of preference to women in all your decisions, right? Some degree of preference to women in all your decision. What decision making? You must give her the preference. Right? So you've got children, and she says, you know, that the children will go to church, then you must give preference to that. The children will be Christians, then you must give her the preference, right? So, your children, you have been fathering the children, but she's got the right to give them the direction of her choice. That means all your effort is to promote Christianity or Judaism. Is it worth your while? Is it worth living then? All your life, you're spending, working, striving, but for what? To reach what end? To reach that end that you're going to promote Christianity or Judaism, or nothing to do with Islam. Is it worth it? So therefore, our ulama in this zamana, in this age, they see what's going on, you see, internationally, globally, what's going on. Say, by this, cut this off, don't do it. Because you won't manage it. You do something that you can manage. And manage means that you can give it a proper Islamic finish. It must be Islamic. From within and from without, pure, clean, Islamic things happen. If the both the parents are Muslims, then 95% chance you've got to give the child a right direction. If one is modern or whatever, but overall they will still decide, or whatever it is now, we need to give this child an Islamic ethos, Islamic upbringing, Islamic name. So they will give it the right direction. But if one of the spouses is not like that, then what's going to happen? You can't. Can't do it. Right. And you get this example, right? So if that child's name is Adam, so they won't pronounce it as Adam. So where they got it from? So they don't want to let it sound Islamic, let it sound Western, let it sound like that. So even having an Islamic ethos or Islamic pronunciation, we're averse to that as well. See that when you move away, that means you are suffering from a complex inferiority. You consider it to be inferior, and the thing that is not of your own, is out of your home, that you consider to be superior. So you are suffering a complex. You're not confident of yourself. You're not proud of yourself. You need to be proud about yourself, about Islam. That's the thing that every person should be the happiest about. Bi fadlillahi wa bi rahmatihi wa bi dhalika falyafrahu. With the grace of Allah Ta'ala, you're supposed to be proud, you're supposed to be happy, you're supposed to be cheering up with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. And I ask you, is there any grace greater than Islam? Nothing. بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ Now you are taking joy and you are cheering with something that is outside. This is your child. You're supposed to be proud about him. But you neglected your child, you're proud about that boy. Is that right? Making sense? Say, gadarewa bitawai jai. It's, you know, so stupid. It's such a stupid thing. My child, I mustn't talk about him. I mustn't be proud about him. Next man's child, I must be proud about him. So what did he do to me for me to be proud about him? It's my child, I must be proud about him. So it's my Islam, I must be proud about my Islam, happy about that. Not that person's religion. Right. That is why the Quran Sharif says this repeatedly, this whole lesson. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَهُمْ بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ مَا تَبِعُوا قِبْلَتَكَ. Before that, you present to them every proof and every reasoning, they don't want to follow you. So then Allah grounds this whole argument, says, now see, leave this discussion. Because you're not going to follow their corruption. مَا أَنْتَ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَهُمْ. You're not going to follow their corruption. But in the meanwhile, they have got no idea, no intention to accept the truth. They got no intention to accept the truth. And you are not prepared to accept the corruption. Right? So then what must you do? فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخِيرَاتِ. Leave the discussion. This discussion, leave it out. Because they don't want to leave their corruption. Right? They don't want to give it up. And you don't want to follow corruption. So then, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخِيرَاتِ. Leave this discussion. Leave it out completely. Now, you get into work. What do I need to do? What's my work? What's my duty? What are my responsibilities? What will improve me, improve my akhirat, improve my family, my household? What must I do? I'm going to get into useless discussions, for futile discussions. Then I'm going to suffer. My time has gone. Energy has gone. And I didn't get anything out of it. Like I've been saying this past few days, that even in the Jamaat circles, that the one group I feel that is doing a very big disservice is the group that is getting engaged in these discussions. In simple words, I'm looking now who's giving it and who's catching it, right? Who's giving and who's catching. So I'm getting involved in this whole debacle, right? Who's giving it, who's catching it? Who's giving it, who's catching it? So now, you may ask now, what's wrong in that? The wrong in this is that you left your business, you're reading all these things here. You're engaging in this thing here and you left your business. Your business was what? If you look at the original Jamaat plan, what was it? Zikr, Quran Sharif Tilawat, Namaz, Ikram al-Muslim, go and meet people for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, bring them to Allah Ta'ala. So that was the whole plan of the Jamaat, right? Now your plan is what? Who gave it? He gave it. And who caught it? He caught it. Right? Oh, his points are strong, his points are weak. So did you get anything out of it? Any faida? Did you bring any benefit to deen? Any benefit to yourself? And what has happened? By you engaging in this, what has happened? So, hasn't your heart become even dirtier towards someone? Right? Your heart was a little bit clean initially. But when you engage in this, whether hearing it, reading it, talking about it, discussing it at any level, I ask you now, do you bring any cleanliness and purity to your heart? Or your heart became even more filthy? So you went wrong, right? The wrong that these people are involved in. But you went wrong as well. You cannot claim purity for yourself, innocence for yourself. You also went wrong. And the greater wrong is, in the words of Imam Ghazali, it's a lengthy discussion, but one aspect of the discussion is this. So you are anxious to see that person falling into some calamity. The one that you have a little bit of a dislike for, or difference, what are you anxious about? You're anxious about him falling into some calamity. And the day he fell into some calamity, he says, Allah Baksa Zab came. See this person, Allah Baksa Zab came. I ask you, is it a fact or not? Now, is that the way of a Muslim, that you're anxious to see someone's calamity? Is that Islam? Someone fell into a calamity, and then you are there to rule it off. See, Allah Baksa Zab came. And talking about it, yeah? You're anxious. The way of a Muslim is totally different. The way of a Muslim is, see, in life to be safe, right? At any given moment, you need to have this frame of mind to be safe, that I'm walking on a cliff, very slippery cliff, and I need to be careful at every step. Every step I'm taking, I must be very, very, very careful at. So, I'm on a cliff, it's very slippery, and I've got a handhold to support me throughout this journey. I mustn't give up this handhold. So I'm holding on to this handhold, and I'm walking through this cliff. The moment I'm going to leave this, then I got no support, no security. I got a handhold, and this handhold doesn't break. It will support me. So the handhold is Islam. But I leave out that Islam, then I'm on a very slippery path. I am just going to slip. Right? So at any given moment, I need to see, am I on Islam or not? Am I holding on to that? Or have I gave up that? So when you move out from this, see the Akabir, very interesting time. When they give hidayat, etc., then it's very well thought. Very well thought. From Ilyas al-Sayyam, rahmatullahi, till now, Ibrahim, etc. So they're not wasting time. They thought, they think about a thing very, very well. Very well thought, understood. And they also advising the same way, leave this discussion. Don't do your work. I guess your work is zikr, tilawat, namaz, gush, talim. These are your works. Now, any person that engages in this, I ask you, does he compromise in all these important, one of these important functions? Does he compromise in his home talim, in his zikr, in his namaz? Does he compromise or not? Then if he compromises, is he going to get that madad, that help? Is he going to get that inspiration? He's not going to get inspiration. He will lose out. And he won't get that type of Allah Ta'ala's madad that he's expecting. Both ways he's lost out. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says, leave this discussion. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Now, you compete with each other in righteous work. فَاسْتَبِقُوا, like in a race, you know, like in a race. He made 10 siparas, I overtake him quietly, I'll do 12 siparas. I won't let him know now that I did 12, because he'll come neck to neck with me. I think it will end of Ramadan time, you know, I did 15 siparas every day. Hey man, you overtook me. So, I need to compete with that person all the time. He's moving like this. Look at this person, hey. People do wrong, they wrong him. They rob him, they wrong him, they hurt him. But he's so forgiving, he still shows a good face. But they cheat him, they rob him, they hurt him. He knows about it, not that he's gullible, he knows what's happening. But then he's got such a magnanimous heart that he's got the heart to forgive. I must overtake him in this. Look at his heart. Myself, every small thing I complain. Every small thing, every little thing I gotta complain. But look at this person, what a beautiful heart he's got. Magnanimous. Good, cheerful. He's got the heart to forgive. Then, if he's got the heart to forgive, right, the bondsman of Allah Ta'ala, then won't Allah Ta'ala forgive him? Hey, then no, I need to overtake him in this. He's so forgiving, he's such a cheerful person, such a good person, pleasant person to be working with, that he doesn't take it to heart. Anybody hurts him, doesn't take it to heart, forgets it, it's gone, right? So if he's so kind and so good with people, right, then people belong to Allah Ta'ala and he's so good. So how good will Allah Ta'ala be towards him? Wal ya'fu wal yasfahu. Ala tuhibbuna an yaghfira Allahu lakum. Why don't you overlook? Why don't you forgive? Now you want to take the person to the cleaners and all that, right? That in itself is a problem. Take him to the cleaners, looking for every problem and try and then nail him for every problem that he, every problem. So what you're supposed to be doing in the light of the Quran, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Look, there must be a rivalry in good, whether it's good deeds or good conduct. Goodness in two ways. One is in good deeds or in good conduct. You know, I was once in Medina Munawwara, and I saw one Hajj time, people will come in crowds, you know. So if someone touches one wall, everybody will touch the same wall. Someone will kiss something, everybody will. People are coming for the first time, so they're very emotional. So, I'm watching what's going on. There's quite a few Indians aside. So one person is touching, so everybody's touching. One person is kissing this. Then I saw, when Arab took out one bundle of notes, 100 riyal notes, right? And he's just dishing out. I'm seeing who's going to copy him. Actually, he took out that 100 riyal notes, right? And he's just giving randomly, he's giving everybody. I'm seeing carefully, hey, but everything else they follow, everything else they're emulating. But this thing here, why they don't want to emulate? This comes for free, you see. You don't have to pay for it. So, this is the message of the Quran, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. In these two aspects, in good conduct, good manners, good ways, good mannerisms, right? And in good deeds, who can overtake, right? This person here, you don't hear one nonsensical consideration, right? No, he doesn't waste his time. He's on the spot. He's just working, he's concentrated. Look at him, how marvelous. After Fajr, before Fajr, Namaz time, after Namaz, before Namaz. He's got his whole schedule all planned out. So not a second of his is wasted. He's on the dot. So when you see that now, then you need to aspire for that. There must be a rivalry in these things. Good conduct and good deeds. That's the essence of your life. Good conduct and good deeds. And if you are investing that way, then mashallah, you've got the conformity with the Quran Sharif. Allah grant us all tawfiq.